Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
It may be a choice, but it's the beginning of a very dark path. Sue Bolan exposes the dark underside of abortion here on Probe.
No matter how many times Laura took the home pregnancy test, it kept showing up positive. She was pregnant and 17 years old. She'd gotten an A on her paper against abortion in school. Her parents would never understand, especially since her mother volunteered at the crisis pregnancy center. Her boyfriend was hot, but hardly husband material. He was more committed to skateboarding than to her. Laura had never felt more confused in her life. When she called her boyfriend to tell him she was pregnant, he just said, "Well, that stinks. Well, I gotta go." And he was gone. She carried her horrible secret for 3 weeks before finally telling her parents. Her father exploded. "What did I ever do to deserve this? Well, we'll just have to get rid of it. It's the best thing for everybody. You're too young to be a mother." When Laura's eyes flooded with tears, he said, "You may hate me for a while, but I'm willing to take that risk. You'll get over it. You're young. You can have a real life with a real future this way." Her mother, visibly shaken, said, "How could you do this to us? What would people think of us to have a pregnant daughter? You've really gone and done it now, Laura." 2 days later, her mother took her to a Planned Parenthood clinic. Laura cried the whole way there, "Please, no, don't make me do this, don't make me do this." Nobody listened. Nobody cared that she didn't want the abortion. When a counselor asked if she was sure, she just shrugged her shoulders, beaten and defeated. As soon as it was over, everybody seemed to forget about it. Her parents never brought it up again. All her relationships fell apart. Laura was deeply depressed, not knowing how to handle her feelings. She was too ashamed to talk about the abortion with her friends, and her parents made her promise not to tell anyone. She didn't get over it. She was stuck in a place filled with anger and hurt. She couldn't overcome the loss of her baby, and she didn't even have words for that. Anything related to babies made her cry. New baby announcements at church, diaper commercials, even driving by Babies R Us. Everything triggered relentless heartache. There was a wound in her soul that would not stop bleeding. Abortion is not the cure to a problem pregnancy. It's what counselor Teresa Burke calls an emotionally draining and physically ugly experience. One post-abortive woman described it as emotional torture. This week, we'll be exploring the ugly underside of abortion.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Sue Bolan. A copy of Sue's transcript, The Dark Underside of Abortion, is free at probe.org. And join us next time as we shine the light of God's truth into a dark world here on Probe.
The banner of the pro-choice movement is, every woman has the right to choose. But why do women choose to have an abortion? Many women report that they didn't want one. Most women who get abortions also believe it's morally wrong. When women violate their conscience or betray their maternal instincts, that's going to cause a lot of stress. Years after their abortion, women will often say that they didn't want to have one, but they felt forced to. They thought it was wrong, but they did it anyway because they felt pressure from circumstances or from one or more key people in their lives. Often it's boyfriends, sometimes husbands. When a boyfriend threatens to leave unless a girl has an abortion, most of the time they break up anyway. Then she has lost both her baby and her boyfriend. Crisis pregnancy counselor Dr. Julie Parton says that almost as often, the pressure comes from parents, especially Christian parents. She says that there are three main factors influencing Christian mothers to push their daughters toward abortion: selfishness, shame, and fear. But the bottom line reason for abortion is spiritual. Even though they're usually not aware of it, people are listening to the voice of the enemy, who Jesus said came to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan hates women, and he hates the image of God in the unborn baby. Abortion hurts women and destroys babies. And for every woman who's had an abortion, there is a man whose baby has died. Whether he pushed for the abortion or fought it, God's design of his masculine heart to protect and provide has been violated as well. Dr. Barton points out that over 45 million men have bottled up feelings about their abortions, and she wonders if there's a connection with the heightened amount of violence in our culture of death. Could road rage be the boiling over of deep-seated anger in some of these men? The next couple of days, as we talk about post-abortion syndrome, we'll be exploring the ways that abortion steals, kills, and destroys. But it is crucial that you know that abortion is not the unpardonable sin. Jesus Christ died to pay for all sins, including abortion. He extends cleansing and forgiveness to every man and woman who has been wounded by abortion. He offers reconciliation with God and the grace to forgive ourselves. There is peace and joy waiting for those who have received Christ's gift of forgiveness and cleansing from guilt. Come to our website at probe.org for help with that. Abortion is deeply troubling because it touches on three central issues of a woman's self-concept: her sexuality, her morality, and her maternal identity. She also has to deal with the loss of a child. This loss must be confronted, processed, and grieved in order for a woman to resolve her experience. For millions of women, post-abortion syndrome is an ugly after-effect of abortion, consisting of a number of powerful emotions that can erupt in dangerous and destructive behaviors. Far from being no big deal, abortion is a traumatic event in the life of most women who have one. Life becomes divided into before the abortion and after the abortion. So it is no surprise that so many experience some degree of post-traumatic stress disorder. They used to call this shell shock after World War II. PTSD is a collection of negative, destructive behaviors and ways of thinking. In many women with a history of abortion, there's an alarming increase of self-destructive behavior. Many women are consumed with self-hatred, expressing it in drug and/or alcohol abuse. Millions of women battle depression and suicidal thoughts. One woman said, "I became a tramp and slept with anyone and everyone. I engaged in unprotected sex, and each month when I wasn't pregnant, I would go into a deep depression. I was rebellious. I tried suicide, but I didn't have the guts to slit my wrists or blow my brains out. I couldn't get my hands on sleeping pills, so I resorted to over-the-counter sleep aids and booze." The majority of post-abortive women are also plagued by guilt. As one woman put it, "I hated myself. I felt abandoned and lost, and I felt guilty about killing something. I couldn't get it out of my head that I just killed a baby." This high guilt rate is unique to abortion compared to any other medical procedure. There are no support groups for those who've had their appendix or gallbladder removed, and people don't seek counseling after orthopedic surgery. Guilt is a painful after-effect of abortion. And some women react with anger and rage. They feel deeply isolated and angry at anyone who hurt them and their baby. They are irritated by everyone and everything, and no one can do anything right. They can fly into rages with the slightest provocation. Often, they're not aware of the connection between their abortion and a constantly simmering heart full of anger, especially since most women feel pressured to have the abortion in the first place. Tomorrow, we'll look at more aspects of post-abortion syndrome. A huge aspect of post-abortion syndrome is shame. Post-abortive women often feel like second-class citizens. They live in fear of others finding out their terrible dark secret. One woman told me that whenever she would walk into a room, she was constantly scanning the faces. Do they know? Can they tell they're looking at me? Some women are afraid to attend an abortion recovery group where anyone would know them, even though everybody's there for the same reason. When a Christian has an abortion, she often goes in one of two directions. She either cuts herself off from God because she's so ashamed of herself, or she tries to become the ultimate Martha, wearing herself out in service to try and earn her way back to God's approval and blessing. The shame of abortion drives many women to perfectionism because they feel so deeply flawed and sinful. Another aspect of post-abortion syndrome is denial. Many women spend huge amounts of mental energy trying not to think about their abortion. Romans 1 calls this suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. The horror of participating in the death of one's child is too painful to face, and many women work hard at maintaining denial for 5 to 10 years, but eventually reality usually comes to the surface. Some women find themselves falling apart when their youngest child leaves home or at menopause. Others become uncontrollably sad when they hold their first grandchild. One woman's denial system shattered when she saw a museum exhibit of preborn babies and saw what her baby looked like when she aborted him. Another woman almost lost it in nursing school when she learned about prenatal development. The abortion counselor had told her it was just a blob of tissue. Even those who deny their unborn child was a human being and not a clump of cells admit they have to work at maintaining denial. One woman said, "I didn't think of it as a baby. I just didn't want to think of it that way." And we need to look at child abuse. As the number of abortions continues to rise, so does the incidence of child abuse. Unresolved post-abortion feelings are tied to patterns of emotional or physical abuse of living children. One mother erupted in intense rage whenever her newborn baby cried. She came to realize that she hated her daughter for being able to do all the things that her aborted baby could never do. One woman beat her 3-year-old son to death shortly after an abortion, which triggered a psychotic episode of grief, guilt, and anger. The good news is, though, that there's hope for healing from abortion. We'll look at that tomorrow. Post-abortion syndrome is a dark, ugly underside of abortion. Researchers have reported over 100 psychological effects of abortion stress, including depression, flashbacks, sleep and eating disorders, anxiety attacks, a diminished capacity for bonding with later children, increased tendency toward violent outbursts, chronic problems in maintaining intimate relationships, and difficulty concentrating. And we don't have time to cover the physical cost to a woman's body, but you can get more information about that in the transcript of this program at probe.org. What do you say to someone who's experienced the trauma of abortion? It's a terrible loss. How do you help someone grieve? What do you say? Perhaps something like, "I'm so sorry. It must be very difficult for you. Do you want to tell me about it?" We can offer a listening ear, full of compassion and grace. What was the abortion like? What has it been like to live with it? Seek to validate the woman or man's grief with honor and respect so they can get to a place of healing peace. But what if you're the one who's had an abortion? You need to grieve. Grief is a natural and necessary response to loss. It's more than a single emotion of sadness. It includes feelings of loss, confusion, loneliness, anger, despair, and more. The pain and grief of abortion is complicated by the fact that it is also sin, but it is not the unpardonable sin. Confess it and receive the cleansing and forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers. He paid for your abortion on the cross. He offers you the healing that allows you to be at peace with God and with yourself. Counselor Dr. Julie Parton suggests 3 steps toward healing from abortion. First, acknowledge the wound that needs to be healed. It may take 10 to 15 years before a woman may be willing to take this step. Second, reach out for help. The Bible tells us, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Find others who have walked the same path, either in person or online. Receive God's forgiveness and cleansing in community. That's His plan. And third, get into God's Word. It's a supernatural source of comfort and encouragement. There is a dark and ugly underside to abortion, but it's not too dark for God to redeem. Praise the Lord!